We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Jones and Mego with Arcane.
All right, ladies and jelly spoons.
Jelly spoons?
Yeah, that's right.
That Arcane's makes this like, show sounds so young and cool.
It does. We're the oldest, lamest, young hit show ever.
On WEEI.
We'll always look at how do we best, evaluate our roster and make the small tweaks that maybe can put you over the top. You know, obviously, you know, we're in an interesting situation because I think, you know, again, we're 48 minutes away from, you know, doing our pregame shoot-around press conference today, right? Like in the finals. So there was a lot that went right. And we can't lose sight of that. But we also, you know, are always going to be thinking about how to best move it forward and, you know, pursue what we're all trying to pursue.
I don't know about you, Megan, but that was my least favorite answer from Brad Stevens. And I didn't really like any of his answers, but that was my least favorite one. That was the one that kind of hit me. I was resigned to the fate of what I think this offseason is going to be, which is not much of anything. I think this offseason is going to be small, like you said, you know, small tweaks, things on the margins, little things to try and improve. And it's Arcane and Mego. And by the way, we are coming to you live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. They're celebrating Truck Month featuring F-Series, America's best-selling trucks for 46 years. Get great deals on trucks in stock and ready for immediate delivery. You ever had a car delivered to you?
No.
Me neither.
You ever get a car you ever get a car on Christmas with a big bow on it?
I never have. Every car I've ever had, I stole. That's not true. But
let's move along.
I've never seen that ever happen before. I don't think that ever really happened.
Yeah. Happens. I don't know anyone. No. I haven't had that.
Even like rich people don't do that, you know? Like,
yes, they do.
I think they
do it for their kids for graduation or like sweet 16 or something.
They put a bow on a car and drive up the street. Really?
In the driveway? It's got to happen.
Maybe.
If it happened to you, give us a call.
Don't, actually. 779-7937.
Tell us what kind of car it was.
Brad Stevens, small roster tweaks. Is that what this team needs? More small roster tweaks? I feel like they've been doing small roster tweaks for years, and it's been largely the same result. And I feel like there were tweaks last year from a team that was in the championship. They tweaked that team, and I thought made it better, and they come up shorter than they did last year.
Yeah, and that's, well, to me, that's where I go. I'm not sure that the players are the biggest problem. And as I thought about that specific quote more, as the day, basically after we finished our show and I was thinking about Brad's whole tone and some of the things that he said, that one jumped out to me because I thought it was so in line with that quote that we got from Joe Mazzulla after, I think it was it game three? Against the Heat.
When which quote was it?
He went back and forth with Gary Washburn. And Gary Washburn was asking him about the horrible third quarter that the Celtics had.
Right.
And he said, well, we played three good quarters.
Yep.
We had one bad quarter. And Gary Washburn said, that's the quarter that mattered, though.
Right.
That's where you lost it. And I hear Brad Stevens say, we're 48 minutes away from being in the finals. And it's like, yeah, but those were the 48 minutes that matter, Brad. That's game seven. That's an elimination game. And so there's this pervasive mentality in the organization right now that, oh, we're close. We're really close. If we just do a little bit, we're basically already there. And it's like, No, in these critical moments, you're not having success, and it worries me to hear it from the coach and then to hear it from the president of basketball operations, because that tells me that they're in step with that mentality with each other.
Yeah. It sounds like, honestly, it sounds like the Bruins in the Sinden days when they were just happy to make the playoffs and they're happy to be there and that's all that mattered, and let's get that playoff revenue and let's get those gates and, you know, let's get that all-star game MVP and let's get those all-NBA awards. And hey, you know, we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals again. You're 1-4 in the Eastern Conference Finals, by the way. Is that something you're really proud of? You make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and you lose almost every single year. Like, that's, people always say, well, a lot of teams would kill to be in the Celtics position. The teams killed to be in the Buffalo Bills position when they lost 4 Super Bowls in a row. Like, they made it to 4 Super Bowls, but they got branded as the biggest losers of all time because they lost every single time. Like, this, just getting there every single year and losing is not impressive to me, and it shouldn't be impressive to any Celtics fans of any age. Like, that's, I'm sorry, that's not good enough.
And that's
where
I think
we played harder than them in the first half, and then they outplayed us for one quarter.
Okay, yeah. Great.
One quarter, 48 minutes. We were so close. Well,
shouldn't you win a
there.
Game if you win 3 of the 4 quarters that you're playing in? Like, on paper, you'd go, oh, well, they won the game then if they only lost one quarter.
Yeah.
Well, the point is they had the lapse in focus for one quarter.
I heard they let go of the rope.
Yes.
But
either water skiing or tug of war rope, we didn't know where that landed, but yes. Go ahead, Meg.
No, I lost what I was going to say.
Well, let me just...
I was thinking about the rope.
Let me just say this. If you're sticking with Joe Mazzulla, and it seems like they are, if you're sticking with Joe Mazzulla and his philosophy and the three-pointers and all that other stuff, how could you possibly bring Marcus Smart back? Marcus Smart is a career 32% three-point shooter, and you want to make this whole offense about shooting threes. Why is Marcus Smart coming back? He wasn't All-NBA this year, or All-Defense this year. I don't even think he got that many votes for Defensive Player of the Year, and he wasn't either of the first two teams. One of his teammates was, but he wasn't, and he had another poor shooting year from three-point range. If this team's all about three-point shooting, how can you only make small little things on the margins there, Brad? You have to make – if this is what you're going to do, if this is what you're going to stick with, if it's going to be, you know, three-point shooting and Joe Mazzulla ball – Marcus Smart has to go. I mean, that should be an easy one right there, but he's not talking in those terms.
So you would have Marcus Smart be more of a very traditional point guard, which we saw him do at times in 2022 to success, but...
Before he got hurt, yeah.
But then, I don't know. I guess who else would you have running point if it's not Marcus Smart?
Derek White.
Okay.
Malcolm Brogdon, if you stay, you know? Like, I mean,
Malcolm
other...
Brogdon, to me, is a piece who can go. I mean, he's just the...
It's hard to move, though. He's making a lot of money.
I know.
Yeah.
But there's a reason that he was available, and now we've seen it.
Would you consider more of the offense running through Tatum instead of, you know, trying to set up isolation for him, have Tatum really predominantly be the guy that's bringing the ball up, if we're so ready to move on from Marcus Smart?
Sure. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with bringing in another point guard who's maybe not as good defensively, but who can shoot better. I'm fine with that, too. And also, Robert Williams, bye-bye. I mean, if this is what we're doing, if this is how it's going to go, if it's Joe Mazzulla ball from here on out, what role does Robert Williams have in that? If this is who you're going to commit to, Brad, you know, we all make choices here. If this is what you're choosing to do and the way you're choosing to go, unless they're going to bring back Joe Mazzulla and then try and completely reprogram the guy, which, let me just say, I don't think is fair to Joe Mazzulla. I don't think any of this is really fair to him, you know, to sort of push him out there when he clearly wasn't ready and have him run this team. And now you're trying to completely reformat his whole hard drive. Like, if you want to do that, just bring in a new coach.
Okay, but Christian, what you're describing, I fear, would be a regression back to the Brad Stevens days in a way.
Maybe.
Because you're basically starting to put together a team that is a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and maybe not super elite at anything. This team glommed onto that defensive identity so strongly, and you have Derek White hopefully coming back, who is an all-NBA defensive player, and you have Marcus Smart, who was a DPOY. You have Rob Williams, who, if you can use him strategically in terms of keeping him healthy enough, mm-hmm. like, he's never going to be healthy.
Right.
But if you can keep him healthy enough to be available, an extremely valuable defensive piece. And so I look at it and I go, do we really want to go back to bringing in a Kemba Walker, a Kyrie Irving type? Like,
yes, classical... bring in a Kyrie Irving type.
No, I mean, like, a classical point guard who is just a turnstile on the defensive end and, like, a total liability. I start to think that when you're making moves like that, you really start to lose your sense of what this team can do well.
I suppose, but I mean, there's Patrick Beverley is a good defensive point guard who's a better shooter than Marcus Smart. Right there, boom, solved.
Like, I want that, you know, guy. That's absolutely the guy, Arkan, that I think if you're going to start moving on from some of these pieces, you bring in a fresh voice, a guy who's got a little bite to him, And, you know,
he's
maybe
a lunatic, that guy.
Good. Perfect. I think that's honestly what that team needs, because I'm tired of the head coach going, you know, instead of we played like a-holes, we got to get our heads out of our asses, going, I love them. I gave him a hug and told him I love them. Like, it clearly didn't work. So if you're not going to have the coach do it, maybe you'll get some guys who are fresh to this program, don't have any preconceived notions, and maybe you'll start winning games when you need to start winning games.
I think that if in your, I mean, listen, that's, this team won games. It's not like they didn't win games. Their biggest problem to me is what happens in the playoffs with their best players. That's the biggest problem, and that's why I think these players need more than just a new coach. All right, a new coach isn't going to suddenly get Jaylen Brown making free throws and not turning the ball over. And I don't know that a new coach is. Ime Udoka was the coach in the finals when Jason Tatum completely disappeared. Jason Tatum was better in these playoffs with Missoula than he was in the finals last year with Ime Udoka. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that Ime unlocked anything special with him. You do sort of notice that Tatum was the one who had Missoula's back a lot this year. When it comes to Brad Stevens, I don't know. People have a lot of theories about Brad Stevens. Let's go to the phones here. 617-779-7937. We'll start with Nate and Woburn. Nate, what do you think Brad Stevens should do?
I think Brad Stevens should put himself in the head coaching role. Now, hear me out.
If okay, you think about go ahead. This team,
if you think about this team in 2019, when they overachieved, they went to Game 7 against LeBron and the Cavs. Mm-hmm. Brad Stevens was the head coach. He had rookie Jason Tatum. They overachieved. They played great X's and O's basketball. If you think about this team last year, they went to the finals. They brought in Ime.
All right, you're skipping a couple of years there, Nate, just so you know. You're skipping a couple of Brad Stevens years there where he got basically excommunicated out of the head coaching job. But all right, fine.
I know. But his offensive system was still installed last year when they went to the finals, and Ime was that defensive identity guy. He made Marcus Smart the defensive player of the year. They went to the finals with that offensive system, and if you watch the game last night and you watch the Denver Nuggets, they diced up the zone that the Heat were trying to play that worked against the Celtics, and the Celtics just tried to shoot threes against it with no luck at all. And Rob Williams and Al Horford could have diced up that zone by playing that middle role right at the free throw line, pass out of it.
Ah, but that's it, Nate. They're not good passers. They're not good passers like Jokic is. That's the big difference. Jokic is a unique player.
They're not good post players like Jokic is either.
That too, yeah. I mean, they're not post scorers. One of them finishes lobs, and the other one's a long-distance shooter who tries to take the big man out of the paint. Like, that's what they do offensively. They don't do what Jokic does. You think Rob Williams can stand there at the top of the key and make those passes Jokic makes? Are you nuts? I don't think any big man in the league can do that. Most forwards and guards can't make those kind of pay. Jokic is unique, all right? So, I mean, I understand they did carve up the Miami zone. I think Spoelstra will figure out something. I don't know exactly what. I don't know how you defend a team like that, but I think I trust Spoelstra to figure something out.
The big takeaway, if you're looking at what Denver did against Miami versus what the Celtics were unable to do, to me, is when you look at their stars and the way that they play the two-man game. Yeah. I know Aaron Gordon was a huge force in the first quarter, and they were playing that double big lineup that you went away from. But Denver, between Jamal Murray and Jokic, like, they just complement each other so well in a way that it's one or the other all the time, and it's devastating to defenses because you go so hard on one and boom, like, Jokic just feeds it to Murray, who sinks another devastating three. And
Jokic killed him with his passing in the first
right,
half.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, finished with 14 assists. And I'm not saying you should go and get that exact setup, but it is a good argument against what you see from Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, where because they're both wings and they're a little bit redundant in what they do, it's like, okay, it's my turn now. It's your turn right now. I'm going to go to the bench and get my rest now. You help out the team now. Okay, now you come in and you lead the team and I'll take my turn on the bench. Isn't it? You don't get the two-man game from Jason and Jaylen ever, ever, ever. I think the last time I saw it was during the 2018 run when Kyrie Irving was injured. That was the last time that I saw any kind of two-man game from those guys.
The last time they ever set a pick for each
exactly.
other.
Exactly. And I don't get that. I don't get it. I don't know if it's just because of the redundancy at the position or, you know, it's just, but it's very compelling when you watch what Denver does versus what Boston did.
Yeah, it certainly is. Eddie is in the car. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you? Listen, I've been waiting for the Celtics for years, you know, when Ainge was running things, you know, we were right there. And Brad Stevens, he's another one. He brought them to the promised land, but he's an underachiever. And I just don't like what they're telling us right now, because if you look at what they did last year, they went to the finals. And now Brad's going to come back and forget about last year that they went to the finals, and they really should have won the finals last year. And they should have won the finals this year, too, but they didn't. And it's frustrating, because if this team had the right coach pushing the right buttons, you know, I'm tired of basketball the way it's played today. You know, it used to be the inside-out game. These guys could just want to come down and throw up threes. This team lacks discipline. They need a coach so these players can be disciplined and reel them in. You can't let a bunch of wild horses just run wild.
Gotcha, Eddie. Thanks for the call. Can't let the wild horses run wild, man.
I think there's a Rolling Stones song about that.
I believe there is.
Drag them away.
No. The thing that...
Drag coaches away.
Brad Stevens had a bad week. Brad Stevens has had a bad week, and it wasn't even just so much the press conference, which I didn't like.
We're 48 minutes away from doing our pregame shoot-around press conference today.
Well, that's great, Brad. I thought that athletic story made him look really bad. I didn't think, especially when it came to the coaching search and the way he sort of came around on Joe Mazzulla and how all these other coaches were there with Ime Udoka and maybe preached more of that defensive thing and how the players all wanted to stick with that. But Brad Stevens said, no. I'm going with my protege. Forget continuity. I'm going to take this guy from the second row, and I'm going to pull him up here because I like him, and forget Ime Udoka. I wonder. There was a little thing with Brad and Ime when Ime first got hired. You remember that? When he was the first introductory press conference, and Ime was like, well, we were 27th in assists last year, Brad. We're going to fix that. No offense. And Brad was like, I'm going to get you, buddy. and maybe it was just as more to do with the fact that Brad didn't like what Ime did and the transgressions and all of that.
Crosstalk from you, Ime.
I don't want anything to do with this guy, and I don't want any of his coaches taking over, and I don't like anything about him, and we're just moving on to the next era of Celtics basketball or whatever. I don't know. But it seemed like that was something that maybe wasn't a unanimous agreement going on with the team, and now here we are. It's Mazzulla ball going forward, and all the things that made this team so good defensively are really sort of flying out the window. I don't see how you go forward with Rob Williams and Marcus Smart on this team if you're playing Mazzulla ball next year.
Well, it wasn't unanimous. It also wasn't transparent to the players.
Right.
So we heard as the season went on and towards the end of the season, Wick Grosbeck said that he basically got on a conference call with Jason Tatum and with Brad, and they all said, okay, hey, Tatum, we're going to be going with Joe Mazzulla. And Tatum just said, okay, I like Joe Mazzulla. And that was it. And then after that, you find out when Ime is going to interview at the time with the Brooklyn Nets,
right,
like months later, Marcus Smart at his locker tells reporters, I didn't even know he wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's how they found out about that.
Joe was this interim thing, like the players really didn't seem to know the details of exactly what went down behind the scenes. And I understand that there's a lot of legal reasons that they'll hold up for why they're not being transparent and everything. And it's personal and all of that. But
when are we going to get a report like they made for Bill Clinton? You know, like, when are we going to get the star report for Ime Udoka?
I guess if he lies on the stand some instance, I don't know. It's just, it's so messy. And that comes back to Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
And part of it is he says, you know, oh, 5 days that Joe Mazzulla had to prepare in 5 days and everything. And it's like, well, yeah, but then you had a whole season.
Right. And it didn't seem like a lot of things improved over the course of the season. It seemed like things got worse and unraveled as the season went on. Dan Shaughnessy spoke to Danny Ainge today. Dan talking to Danny. Danny talking to Dan. And there were some quotes in here that were just, I mean, really, really standout quotes that make me wonder how tapped in Danny Ainge still is with this team. His son is still the director of player personnel. Austin Ainge is still the Celtics director of player personnel. Here's some of the answers that he gave when asked about Joe Mazzulla. Danny says, I work for another company now, but I'll defend my friends. I know Joe. I hired Joe 4 or 5 years ago to work in our G League. I still cheer for my friends. I don't think the team quit on Joe. There was pretty good evidence that they did not quit on Joe. I just think they weren't playing well. The team's overall confidence struggled after the comeback wins against Philly, which was really the highlight of the season. Now, real quick, why would your confidence struggle after two comeback wins? You know, after you're down 3-2 and then and Jason Tatum in particular has this amazing fourth quarter and then this amazing game 7, and all of a sudden you lose confidence?
It's so strange.
How does that happen?
You're going in to play the 8th seed,
right,
in the Eastern Conference Finals where you've been so often,
mm-hmm,
and you don't have confidence? It's bizarre.
Ainge went on. No coach can go through a series and not make mistakes. Thanks, Danny. Just like players make mistakes. But we saw some patterns of isolation basketball and going through stretches of not making threes. That's not just with this group. We see it throughout the NBA. Teams go on long three-point droughts, blah, 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 blah. Energy's higher when they make shots. Celtics are not unique in that aspect. I understand something's got to change, but knowing every one of the players like I do, it's hard to identify. They need to do some imaging. You've got to find out what went wrong, and no one is certain if they're not there every day. If you ask the player or each coach, they would all have a different reason, and it's Brad's job to find out what needs to be changed. This team found joy. Okay, Ted Lasso. They were inconsistent, but they were rooting for each other. They were all defending Joe to the media. Did you maybe miss Marcus Smart's little speech that he had about Joe Mazzulla and how all the people ripping him were doing it rightfully so? Was he defending Joe to the media? Like, what are you talking about?
Was Jaylen Brown defending Joe Mazzulla's approach when every other game in his media availability, he's talking about defense, defense, defense?
Yeah.
And essentially in the same game, Ryan, I think you pointed this out yesterday, in the same post-game conferences, while Joe Mazzulla is talking about emphasis on three-pointers, Jaylen Brown, who hadn't even dressed for that game, was like, yeah, the guys took too many three-pointers.
It's staggering. Like, one of your top players is not, you know, marching to the same beat that your coach is trying to put out. And I just keep coming back to, because you guys think, oh, it's strange that, you know, they didn't have confidence in themselves after, you know, having their back to the wall and winning two elimination games against the Sixers. It's starting to feel like they knew they were screwed no matter what they did, which is a horrible feeling when you look at this team, that they're just looking around going, this isn't sustainable, guys. This is not who we are. And I think
when's the piano going to fall on our heads?
A lot of that goes back to what was going on, what this show was talking about in early March, going, something is off with this team. We're not sure what it is. Now we're starting to figure it out. And I think we got more to come as far as what went wrong with this team this year.
Here's the doozy of the quote. This one's even more than that one. They were all defending Joe in the media. Okay, Danny, listen to this. You see Joe's toughness and stubbornness, Ainge said. He's a relentless worker. He has a passion to learn. Joe is a leader. And I think this was a difficult situation with high expectations the team had coming in. I don't think there's anybody there that doesn't believe that Joe is a better coach than Ime Udoka. I know that's some interesting grammar and a lot of double negatives. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't believe that Joe is better than Ime Udoka as a coach. Megan, how true do you think that statement is?
Did he take a survey of the locker room? Like, seriously, when I read this morning, I was like, come on.
I feel like this team has been pining for Ime Udoka the entire year.
Yeah.
Like, who are you talking about?
So is he talking about basketball operations people?
Maybe.
Is he just talking about Brad and basketball operations people?
He said, I don't think there's anybody there.
The locker room feels radically different in the way that they've described him, the way that fantastic athletic report detailed what was happening behind the scenes throughout the season. It seemed they told us themselves, like during the All-Star break, when Joe Mazzulla was named an All-Star coach.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum sitting at his locker saying Ime Udoka is like the best coach I ever had.
Greatest guy in the world. You know, just a wild take there from Danny Ainge. But you know what? Again, he's more tapped in than we are. So maybe we're missing something here, but that was, not anyone there that doesn't believe that Joe's a better coach than Ime Udoka. Okay, I feel like I heard differently this season, but I'll take your word for it there, Danny. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls after we do the triple play coming at 3:45. Triple 45, as Jones likes to say, a fill-in-the-blank Friday next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.